Moto America fans, it's time for another episode of Off Track with Carruthers and Bice. You'll laugh, you'll cry, and you may even learn something from this unlikely pair and their special guest. The mic is yours, Paul and Sean.
Hello, Moto America fans. Welcome to this latest edition of Off Track and with Carruthers and Bice. We are at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta, and we are equipped with some brand new Audio Technica beautiful headphones, and I feel sexy. I'm joined, as always, by the communications manager for Moto America, Mr. Paul Carruthers, to my right.
I feel like I'm sitting too close.
Yeah, it's a little intimate right now, isn't it? And we thought, what better way to start the first race weekend of the Medaglia Superbike Championship than with the two-time and defending champion, Jake Gagne, who's aboard the Fresh and Lean Progressive Racing Yamaha. Progressive Yamaha Racing YZF-R1 Superbike. Sorry, Jake. Jake, welcome. We were at Daytona. You weren't. We missed you there. Cam Peterson, your teammate, was there. How was that decision made? Was it left up to you about coming or not coming? Or did Richard, you know, what was the strategy there?
Yeah, it was kind of on me for sure. It's my first round getting back to the whole Moto America party here. I know you guys have been hard at work all year. Really hard at work. And so it's good to be here. It's good to be in Atlanta, man. Everybody loves this place. And it's always fun to start the year here. You know, last year we were at COTA to open it up, to open the Superbike series. So I'm excited to be here at Road Atlanta. It looks like it'll be a fun weekend at a great track. So it's time to get this thing rolling.
Is this a better place for you to start?
To me, I mean, it is what it is, but I think all of us, we all love this track. It's such a unique layout here, especially riding a superbike around this place. It's no joke. It's really physical. It's challenging. Of course, you know, and I've had some good success here. I've had good races here. I've had bad days here, a little bit of everything, but it's just good. It's just good to get the year going, you know, riding around to and testing in the off season. Eventually you're like, let's just go racing and get this thing rolling. And so now we're here. So it's go time.
Are you sick of Buttonwillow? Or just the drive there.
I'm a little sick of the drive there, 12 hours, but you know, it works out good. It's definitely the easiest thing for the team. You know, it's close. But man, we hit the rough patch of the weather this year. I think even all around, especially in California, around the country, the weather's been crazy. So we had a couple of days out there where we sat around for 2 days and rode five laps a day, watching it sprinkle on and off, not even wet enough to run rains, but just in between. You know, we had one day a little while ago there, we split half an hour cars and then half an hour bikes. So the cars would go out there and it'd be, you know, there'd no rain coming down. As soon as we started up the motorcycles, it just start sprinkling and sprinkling for 25 minutes during our whole session. And again, not enough to learn anything on slicks and not enough to put on rain. So yeah, a lot of weird weather out there this time around, but still we got some good laps in.
So even though it's not a track that we race at, it's still a good track. I mean, you guys can learn stuff as far as off-season testing goes.
I mean, I think so. You know, Yamaha has been going and testing there for a lot of years, even before I was ever on the team. You know, Hayes and Bobier spent a lot of time out there, and obviously it's shown to build some pretty good bikes, right? And get bikes set up pretty good. It's a rough track. It's a tough track, pretty bumpy for sure, but it does have a... It's not super high speed, you know, no big, long straightaways. I don't even think we get into sixth gear there unless we run the track backwards. But it's still, like I said, I mean, it's worked out good for us so far. And usually we get the benefit of having good weather there, even in the off season. Whereas I think if we were to make a big trip to the East Coast, one of these tracks, you don't know what you're going to get, you know, right. But so it's worked out cool. It's a fun track. And again, it's like, it's really challenging, and I would say it's for sure more physical than any track we race at. You know, it's small and it's tough on a superbike, so it's kind of nice to have to whip you into shape a little bit before the race and gets going, you know?
Yeah, one of the things I wondered about Buttonwillow, so you had about, I think, four sessions there, four or five maybe. You did, and you were there in November. And I don't know if every time, but most of the time you were there, there were also cars that had sessions in between your sessions. Is that... Other than the fact that if a car goes off and kicks a little gravel onto the track, which is an issue, is there any issue about like cars putting rubber down and then you going out on that track? Do you notice anything weird with the grip?
You'll notice that, you know, it's weird. You can, like, we go out for 30 minutes, put a bunch of rubber down on our lines, and then the cars kind of like scrub they almost scrub a lot of that rubber off and it turns into that. And then we see their rubber and we kind of have to almost start over with our rubber. But for the most part, the track stays pretty clear. You know, those guys do like dropping wheels off in the dirt and every now and again. So there's a couple sections we got to be aware of. And, but it, you know, it works out pretty good. I think like logistically and financially, it works out good when we share it. It's a lot cheaper. And like I said, I think budget wise, we can go out there and do a lot of days for the price of, for instance, trying to come out here to the East Coast or something like that, you know. And, you know, we always, you know, we thought about going to like Chuckwalla a little bit, but that track's
too small, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think it's very good for what we want to do on superbikes. And even though Button Willow is small, there's just, for some reason, it's got some stuff that I mean, that's all we've tested at for years, and it seems to translate pretty good to even these tracks. So
one of the things I wondered, I didn't know that you could go in a different direction on that track. So you guys at some tests would go clockwise, sometimes counterclockwise. What's the strategy behind that? And also, do you like going in a certain direction better than the other direction at Button Willow?
I like them both, honestly. And I think too, like I said, I've been with this Yamaha team for years now, and I've ridden, for instance, we're usually going clockwise, right? And so after a couple weekends of clockwise, it's nice to just switch it up and ride a different track. And it also does bring different aspects to the track. You know, when we go backwards, we can run the whole long back straightaway, get up into sixth gear, which is nice. It kind of has a couple different harder braking zones. It just changes the feel and the dynamic of the track. So we can try different stuff with the bike, which is cool. You know, there's not a lot of tracks I've ever been to where you can run backwards. So it's nice to, you know, it's a nice little perk to have.
All right. Let's forget Button Willow.
Yeah.
And let's talk about,
well, I have one more Button Willow question,
no, but don't.
I'll link it into, it's a Dunlop question, but we'll, you go ahead. I'll circle back to Dunlop.
Well, I want to talk about this season, and it's funny because there's a lot of excitement for this year because there's all these unknowns, and like, you're the only thing that's not an unknown because we know what you can do. I mean, you've showed it the past 2 years, no matter what's been thrown at you, you've been able to deflect it and do what you need to do and be champion. But like this year, there's, you know, it's like, is Cameron Peterson going to be better? Is Matthew going to be better? And then you've got Cameron Beaubier, and you've got Josh on the Ducati. You've got Tony Elias back. What's it like for Jake Gagne? Is it just business as usual?
It is. I mean, it's just,
it's got to be more fun though, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, I was talking about with some of the guys here earlier today. It's cool. You know, we don't, you know, well, Tony's European, but you know, last couple of years we had Baz, we had Petrucci, you know, some big European names. And it does kind of change. I don't know. It changes things, changes the mentality like a little bit for me. Like, I mean, like I've said before, like Petrucci over here, I wanted to beat that guy pretty damn bad, you know, and I was willing to do whatever I had to do, even if I had to throw it on the ground to try to,
which you did.
Which I did, you know, at times, like there was races I could have just settled back and won by a second and a half, but I'm like, I want to put it to him, you know, I want to make him feel bad at the end of this day. And that always didn't work. So, but I was talking about it to somebody earlier, and, no, it's cool, man. I mean, a lot of us got Cam Beaubier, Cam Peterson, Matthew Skoltz, Heron, PJ, Elias, man, we're like the American veterans in a way now. I mean, we're all still pretty young. I'm 29, but at this point it's like, I'm kind of a veteran around here, and you know, we've done a lot of racing together. We've been through a pretty long career together with everybody. And I think still all of us, at least me, man, I have a good relationship with all these guys. You know, they're all my buddies, they're all my homies, but at the same time, we want to beat each other. No doubt. And so it's going to be good. Like you said, I mean, everybody's going to step it up. Everybody does every year. So I got to make sure I do, you know, we do our job and step it up too. And so there's no way to know. We'll find out this weekend, you know, where everybody kind of stacks up. But again, even no matter what, how the first round ends up, everybody's going to keep stepping it up all year. And it's going to be fun. You know, like I said, it's cool because all of us have a good idea of how we are with each other. We have good relationships with each other. You know, we're still buddies, but we want to beat each other. And so that, in a way, man, it's kind of crazy because we're all here, we're racing super bikes at the highest level in America, but it kind of brings in that feel like we're just backyard racing, you know, with our buddies, and we just want to beat each other. It kind of has a little bit of that feel with, like I said, a lot of us being around each other and racing around each other for a long time.
Isn't it easier if you, like if it was me, I would want somebody that I didn't like, if that makes sense. Not that I'd have to have, not that I'd have to hate somebody in order to beat them, but I would be like, it would be easier for me to like, to really go hard against somebody I didn't like as opposed to a buddy.
Yeah, in a way. I mean, I think I'm not the type that, I think I've been this way, especially as I get older, but I've never really been the type that's like super, super competitive or really gives a shit what anybody else has to say or proving anybody right or wrong. Like that's not really how I've always rolled. I just want to do the best I can. And at the end of the day, if I know I gave it 100% of everything I had, then I'm stoked, you know, win or lose or crash. Like that's kind of where I'm at. So it doesn't, I don't really need like a fire of,
right,
you know, a fire lit under my ass. You know, I'm not like the type that's on the grid, just listening to some tunes, like getting all jacked up. Like I'm just, I'm calm, man. I'm just going out there.
You don't roid rage.
No, dude, I just, you know, I try to be centered and focused and, you know, no matter what, I just kind of, I've learned to trust my skills. I've been doing this stuff my whole life. And, over the years, you know, things become a little bit calmer. I learn every year, even, you know, from the first year I won my championship, second year last year, like I become a different rider and the mentality is a little bit different. Trying to be like a little bit more, I'd say like calculated, like then, you know, every year I'm trying to be a little more calculated and understand what I can do, what I should do and how far is too much. And, so I'm really enjoying that part of my career because like I said, I mean, you know, of course I want to win this championship bad. I want to back it up, but, I want to have a good time and I want to just give it my all. And, so it's going to be fun racing with these guys this year. Like I said, we all have a lot of respect for each other, but we still want to race each other hard. So
it's easy to downplay Cameron Beaubier at this point, just because a new bike and he'll tell you, you know, he's like,
he'll downplay it, but he's Cam Beaubier, man.
Right, that's the thing. And you realize that, right? Yeah, I mean, yeah. And I think we all probably will at some point realize that because he does downplay it, but I think he's going to be a factor at some point. It might not be right away. Is that something you plan on?
Yeah, no matter what. I mean, like we just said, man, he's Cam Beaubier. We're going to be calling him Daddy Beaubier pretty soon.
Yeah, that's right.
But he's no joke. I mean, he's what, 5-time Superbike champion. And I know he hasn't been riding a Superbike the last 2 years, but him racing in that Moto 2 class, man, it's gnarly. And I know he's become a better rider since before he went over there. And like I said, yeah, coming back, new bike and all this different bike, all this stuff, but he's, no matter what, I'm never going to count him out, especially even if he doesn't have the best day or doesn't have the best qualifying. Like I have to expect that he'll be there and he'll step it up come race time. And I think that's kind of how he is. And, but yeah, you know, we know Cameron, we're all good buddies and he'll downplay it and, you know, he'll say, oh, I don't know if I'll be there and I got a lot of work to do, but that, me being me, I'm never going to count the guy out no matter what.
So, he's full of shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I get that you're not going to count him out, but there's sort of a big unknown. We were kind of talking with some other people in Moto America and they were talking about this, trying to do some graphics about a head to head rivalry between, you know, Jake Gagne and Cameron Beaubier. And we were like, well, I mean, it's cool. It's a cool idea, but we don't know yet. We don't know who is going to be. It could be Matthew Schultz. It could be Cam Peterson.
Yeah.
Or someone else. Or it could be Cameron Beaubier. The interesting thing about the test that you guys had just momentarily back to Buttonwillow in November is you broke the track record, his track record there at that event, but he went pretty darn fast too.
Yeah.
And that was pretty early on that bike. I assume that was probably last year's bike. It might be better this time. So you're right, but there's a lot we don't know. And the interesting thing about you is you were his teammate. You were kind of where Cam Peterson was. And here's Cameron Beaubier. He left. You became, I don't mean to say this way, Jake. So I think you know what I'm going to say. You kind of became Cameron Beaubier. For the, you know, you're the number one Yamaha rider and just dominated and has been winning like crazy. So then that Cameron Beaubier comes back, but he's not on our one. We just don't know. I mean, it's going to be interesting. I can't even fathom what this season, how it's going to be. You know, we just don't know. We weren't sure about Petrucci, how he was going to get along last year, but he was a factor.
Yeah.
So like Paul says, he'll be a factor, you know, maybe not right away, but he will. So,
he was funny because I spent some time with him, getting him over to do the photos and stuff. And he said it's kind of weird when he walks by the Yamaha truck because he's so used to like being in there, you know, and now it's like, and he sees like his team name on his arm and stuff. And it just, it's not, hasn't set in yet.
No, it's a big, I mean, you know, that guy was the Yamaha guy for, I mean, even on 600s for a long, long, long time. And so it's gotta be different, but like we just said, man, you're never going to count that guy out. And, you know, we haven't tested with him a lot. We did back in like November and that was about it. So you never know what anybody's going to bring, you know. We don't know about Heron, you know. We know how talented that dude is. He could be there any day. And I've, you know, obviously I've been right, Skoltz and Campy, my teammate, we've all been riding together and those guys have both stepped it up big. So, I'm, like I said, I think we're in for a show. I think it's going to be close and, I can't expect anything. I just got to go out there and do my best and we'll see what happens. It's going to be fun.
Now, I wanted to talk about the tire situation. I don't know this for a fact, but I know that you guys tested some Dunlop tires that they've been working on for a couple of years that have sort of a different carcass or different contact pads. They're supposed to resemble something of another brand of tire. And maybe it was something that Petrucci wanted, but never got last year. I believe you've been on it. And I think you were on them in November. And I'd heard something about maybe you had the production tires at this last test at Buttonwillow. You didn't necessarily go faster than you did in November or as fast, but do you know if those tires are what you're going to have this weekend?
Yeah, that's the plan. And again, like I don't know all the technical details, right? Like even with the team, with Corndog and Richard, I'm like, I just ride the bike, man. Right, I tell them what I feel. I don't know the numbers and the measurements, but there's a different shape to these new Dunlops that we're all going to be running this year. The front tire has felt a little bit better for all of us. And like you said, kind of changing the contact patch and how the front tire turns into the turn, and same with the back tire. Like there, again, I don't know the numbers, but there is a little bit different measurements and sizes. And all these little things play a role. And, but it's like, you never really know until you bring them out here to the racetracks that we race at, you know. When we go test that Dunlop, that Buttonwillow, dude, that track can change. So even 10 degree, that track is really, really, really finicky. It's weird. Like it, even if it's above 75 degrees out there, like the track gets greasy, and 10 degrees can make a big, big difference on lap time. And obviously also too, with the cars rolling around and sliding off and putting dirt on the track and the wind and the weather's been crazy. So it's hard to get like a real consistent understanding, I think, of like what the performance really is. So we'll find out this weekend. No doubt though, I think, like every year, you know, we're going to have to be re-breaking the records that we've, you know, been around in the past, you know, so race records or qualifying records, whatever. I think everybody's going to be going faster. So It's going to be cool to see.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned Matthew Skoltz going a little bit quicker and Cam Peterson going faster. So from what I understand, you guys are all on R1 superbikes, but the Westby bike was a little bit different. It was, the software was maybe a generation behind, but apparently they've updated that now. So I think you guys are on pretty close to the same iteration of the software. So they're able to do a little bit more manipulation with the engine braking and some things like that. And I'm not trying to get super technical with it, but you saw the result of that with Skoltz. You said he looked like he was quicker. So
yeah. No, I mean, again, I don't know what those guys are running. I don't know any of this. Like me and Matt and Cam, we talk, you know, we talk about how we feel on the bike. And I just know, without him telling me any details of what is what, like, you know, we just know that there, you know, he could tell me that he's feeling better and stuff like that. And so, and again, like, I don't know what's going on under the tent for those guys or for anybody. And, but I can see, you know, when somebody's feeling good and you know, when somebody's kind of struggling with things. And, I think in the past, like for Skoltz, for instance, there's been, man, sometimes he's really, really fast, but then there's those weekends where he's struggling with some stuff and stuff that maybe we don't struggle with that often. And so, but we'll see, man, come race time, we'll see. And no matter what, all these guys are fighters, and especially Skoltzy, man, that guy's a warrior. So, and so is all these other guys. So, everybody's just kind of try to do the work to get the best package they can and go racing.
So what did you do over the off season? Are we just jaking it?
Just jaking it. Yeah.
Just chilling in the mountains and all by yourself with your dog.
Man, I go out to Buttonwillow and we started testing in January and stuff. So I'd go out there for that. And, just stayed out of, you know, I didn't do any like snowboarding or skiing, stayed out of trouble, did a lot of snowshoeing, and we got a lot of snow.
Tons. I'm at
like
8,000
right? feet. So yeah, we got a lot of snow, and just hung out with my dog, you know, worked out, did a lot of cold plunges, and, you know, just kind of did my program and enjoyed it, and stayed fit. And yeah, just jaked it, I guess.
Did you cold plunge at all this winter?
Man, I tried not to. I tried to avoid any cold
plunges.
You tried
hot baths, right?
I had a cold plunge in the shower this morning, by the way, that I didn't enjoy at all. So it didn't work for me. Hey, Jake, I've seen this. I can't remember. Paul, you may be able to remember who that. There was a rider in MotoGP that they were playing basically the sounds of the bike, and the guy could tell what track it was.
Mark Marquez.
Yeah, okay. So what I want to ask you, Jake, if I name a track, like obviously if I name Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta, and you close your eyes, can you go, you can do a lap around that track and feel like you're on the bike and move your body. You know what you're doing. Is it like that? Do you know the track that well?
Well, so like you said, like if they played an onboard GoPro, like, and they didn't tell him what track he was,
but it was the sound, not the visual.
It was the sound.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting. I don't know.
Yeah. And he'd go like,
I don't know.
Laguna Seca.
I mean, you could probably tell like after turn, you know, I don't know. That'd be a good test. I would be interested. I've never tried that, but.
And on those MotoGP bikes, you could really hear like, yeah,
I think you could kind of pick it out. I mean, like Road Atlanta would be easy to pick out if we knew, you know, start finishes now, turn one, and then up through the twisties right up there. Like,
and then along straightaway.
It would be interesting. It would be interesting.
But here's the thing with me. That's the sound. What I'm asking you is if I had you sit, lie down on a couch, if I were Dr. Bice or something, and I said, close your eyes. And I said, visualize.
I don't want to visualize.
Yeah,
that.
That's.
Visualize my new goatee.
That didn't. Yeah, now that I have this, I'm Dr. Bice. Yes. Come into the parlor. No, but if you have your eyes closed and I said, you know, visualize going a lap around Road Atlanta, start to finish. Could you close your eyes and imagine it? Because you've been around here so many times.
Yeah.
You know where it's going.
Yeah. You want how close the lap time would be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. But I mean, you could probably do that with every track we go to. You can imagine because you know how it feels.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think most of us guys could just muscle memory and doing this stuff for so long. I mean, I'm not the type that I've never really, you know, you see guys they do in the, where they go out. Like that doesn't, I've never really went with that, but I mean, I get it. It's cool. I mean,
like that visualization thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't visualize going into turn one with everybody or anything?
Not really, man. No, I don't do a lot of thinking, you know, I mean, at that point, I've trained to trust my instincts. You know, I've been doing this stuff long enough. And of course, like we're doing, you know, even when weekend, we're doing all these laps in practice and qualifying, like I know what it should feel like when I'm going fast. I know what I'd like to do going into turn one, but I'm not necessarily sitting in my head and playing it out.
Right. Know? Like, it seems like motocross and supercross would be more critical. Like supercross or motocross, you're thinking like, okay, if I don't get a really good start, I at least got to be on the inside. So I don't get like, well here, that's not really the case. Right. I mean, you're not.
And the track, you know, the track doesn't change much, right? You know,
stuff, yeah, but.
Right. Well, you know, and I mentioned at Buttonwillow the fact that you know you broke the track record at that first test of the year in November. When you're, and I've seen other riders say this, they do a fast lap that they broke a record with or something, and it maybe didn't feel that fast, or you've done laps maybe that felt like it was a fast lap, and you're like, oh, that's all the time was. I mean, does it continually surprise you, or do you know? I just put in a hell of a heater lap right there.
I think you kind of know. I mean, you know.
I think at Buttonwillow you would know because it's a lot of work.
Yeah, yeah, you know. And I think like a way to kind of judge that is just understand, like you can just hear your revs, you know, especially if you've been running an old tire for a while and then you throw on a new tire, like out of turn one, I'm going to be like, I know I'm higher in the revs than I have been, you know, running these laps on the old tire. So, you know, like you're going to be carrying more speed into the next turn and et cetera. And so I think that's just sometimes you get a little surprised by the lap time if you're like kind of in the zone, but I think most of the time it's halfway around, three quarters of the way around. Like I kind of know where I'm at, you know, cause I've been, especially unless it's a new track and new stuff, but when, you know, we've been riding all weekend or a couple of days, like you kind of know where you're at and where you're going to end up. You know, I think I could take a pretty good guess by three quarters of the way around or something.
Is this the last year of a 2-year contract?
Yeah. Yeah. So
you don't have, I mean, you don't have any interest in going anywhere anymore, do you? Like overseas or anything? Or
I don't know. You know, I mean, any type of if there was some type of right opportunity. I mean, I I don't really have any desire to go ride a Moto2 bike.
No, but I mean, like, if Toprak went to MotoGP and they said, here's a factory Yamaha and World Superbike.
Yeah, it'd be something I'd have to consider, yeah, for sure. You know, I think
it would be kind of cool if anybody's listening, they might want to try that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and I'm the type, I mean, you guys know me, I want to enjoy my racing. It is work, and I'm blessed that I get to call this my job right now. And, but I want to, I mean, there's no more fun for me as a motorcycle racer than racing here in Moto America. I'm an American, so I'm biased, but American tracks, American fans, the whole Moto America paddock really feels like family to me, you know, like
Dr. Bice.
I can always talk to him about anything, lay me down, but I mean, you never know. I'm open to anything. And again, like I say it all the time, but just, I'm not even thinking that far ahead right now. Like I got work to do to try to defend this championship. So
yeah. And if you don't do a very good job, you don't have any options.
Yeah.
Does it feel like every year you're starting kind of anew? I mean, even though you're the defending champion, do you feel like, well, here we go again, we're kind of back to zero. We don't know what's going to happen.
Kind of. I mean, for myself, like I'm not starting over. Like I said earlier, like every year I think I'm learning. Like these last 2 years, I've won a lot of races. We won championships. But even with that, I probably learned more and I think become a better, more calculated, more understanding racer in these last 2 years than ever in my career. I've learned a lot, winning races and learning and losing races too, and making mistakes and all that stuff. So I feel like the unknown really is more what everybody else is going to do, you know, and everybody's in the same boat. I think all of us at this level, like we know what we can do and as long as we can put all the pieces together and be in the right spot, like we know what we can do and should do. And so the unknown is kind of what everybody else, where everybody else is going to be at, you know?
And it's kind of cool that I always like a championship where like a bad day could be sixth or seventh or fifth or whatever. Yeah. It's no good when a bad day's second, no matter what. And I think finally we have
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no doubt.
And that makes it more fun for everybody. It's definitely more fun to watch.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I mean, 2 years ago, what did we weigh in? Like, won 17 or 16 or 17 out of 20. And yeah. I know, like as a fan, if you're watching these superbike races, it's not, you know, a couple laps in, you kind of, you know, what might happen. And like, but me, I mean, I get it. You know, I'm the same guy. Like if I'm, you know, all the years watching motocross or supercross, watching Carmichael back in the day, freaking sweep everybody down. Like in a way it's like, it sucks not to see racing for the lead, but I mean like that, those days come to mind, like Carmichael and Stewart. I was a moto kid. So like,
yeah,
no matter what though, man, like seeing, it's still sick to see like how somebody is at the top of their game, like pushing themselves to the absolute limit to get the job that they want to get done, you know? And so like, I get both sides, you know, but for me as a racer, I have to give it everything I got no matter what. You know?
Right. And it's also a fact of like, no matter how well liked Jake Gagne is, there's a lot of people that want somebody to give you a run. They don't want to see you win 17 races. They want to see Cameron win some and you know, mix it up a bit. So
no, I get it. But yeah, you know, all of our jobs as doing this stuff is to do the best we can, you know, right. And that's where it ends.
Yeah. This is a perfect segue. You mentioned that you were a moto kid and you were, and you know, arguably the best motocross rider that we currently have or did have. And we know at Salt Lake City out in Utah, you have, you know, qualified for an outdoor motocross race. So we know about your prowess on a dirt bike. You got into the Red Bull Rookies Cup and hadn't road raced prior to that. And you were good at it and you became a road racer. What happened? Do you like road racing better than you're a moto kid?
Yeah, I know. I love them both. I mean, I think at the time, again, like I think I was 13 years old or whatever. And my dad signed me up for this Red Bull Rookies Cup gig. And then one day he said, we're going to Barber to ride a street bike. And I didn't even know at that time. I it's hard to say, but I don't even think I knew what MotoGP was. You know, I definitely didn't know like Valentino Rossi or I didn't know any of that stuff. And so we're like, well, let's go try it out. And of course, like at the end of that thing, I was one of the slowest kids that got picked, but I got picked. And fortunately, you know, it was a Red Bull was fronting the bill for this thing. So it's free racing for a year, pretty much, you know, pay for some travel, some flights around the country, but that was a lot cheaper than racing motocross. You know, I know my parents sacrificed a lot, spent a lot of money from when I was 5, 6 years old till I was in the Rookies Cup. You know, it's not cheap racing motorcycles of any kind. So no matter what, we're like, well, let's, you know, we got to try this. We're, you know, Red Bull's put foot in this bill for this thing. Let's try it for a year. If nothing else, go back to race motocross. Right. And that first year we progressed a lot and, you know, we were up there at the front at the end of the year, won some races. And then even at the end of that year, they canceled the Rookies Cup here in the States, like
right
at the end of the year. And we're like, all right, like it was fun, cool, but we're going to go back to racing motocross. And then that was right then we kind of got the call, that I was one of the kids that got picked to go to Europe. And the only reason I got picked, I was fourth in the championship, but they wanted to take the top three. But Leandro Mercado at the time, he already had a gig, actually, I think with Attack riding 600s here. And he was a really big kid. So he was already too big to ride those bikes. And so luckily I was next in line. And again, it's like, okay, another year of racing, you know. And even at the time, Red Bull was helping out with, because the European travel was obviously a lot more of a big expense. So they were helping out. So it was another year of not spending my parents' money. So they're like, yeah, let's do it. It's sweet. Yeah. So that happened. Those 2 years in Europe, I won the championship that second year. And it was kind of I've said it before, but you know, I think I won the championship that year, and a lot of the kids that I smoked all year were racing world championship the next year, you know. And it was like just a case of having the wrong passport, kind of, you know. And I didn't speak the language and stuff, you know. A lot of, you know, people were bugging me, you got to start learning Spanish, you got to start learning Spanish, all right, this stuff. And I'm like 14, I'm like, you know. And I tried a little bit, you know, on the computer and stuff, but in hindsight, like that was one thing that I knew hurt me from having any opportunities over there in Europe. Like that's one thing that really would have helped. And, but yeah, long story short, like those couple of years just kept building and building. I had all these good opportunities and I couldn't pass them up, you know? And then all of a sudden, like before, you know, looking back after a couple of years, I'm like, dang, I'm a road racer now, I guess, you know? And I had all these opportunities with, and then after that, doing some Europe stuff and then coming back and racing with Road Race Factory all those years and racing. And, you know, that was the end of right before Moto America came, and then Moto America came on the scene and really like opened up this new world of road racing here in the States and kind of brought it back to life. And so, I was just kind of following the opportunities that were coming my way. It's crazy, really, you know, to think, but I am happy, man. I'm happy that looking back that I took this turn to become a road racer rather than being a supercross motocross racer right now at this time. I'm really stoked that I'm in the position that I am. And, I mean, I guess everything happens for a reason. I'm where I'm supposed to be, but it's really kind of crazy to think about.
Such a numbers game too. Like, I think if you showed up at Loretta Lynn as a kid, there's freaking hundreds of kids that are that fast, right? Or yeah, at least the road racing, the numbers might be a little more in your favor.
Yeah. You know, and when I was starting, when I was racing 65s, you know, 80, starting on 85s, like at that point, all those kids are getting homeschooled, right? And they're riding 4 days a week. A lot of the kids that I was racing against, and I was still going to public school. My parents were working all week. Like I wasn't the kid that could ride during the week. Like if I got a friend's dad to take me once a week, like I was lucky. And that's the point where kids like are really starting to be like, okay, this is like, I'm going to be homeschooled. I'm going to be a motocross racer. And at that time it was like, I couldn't do that. You know, I was still going to public school. Like I said, my parents, you know, I didn't have the budget that some of these families had to go racing and go around the country, racing all these nationals and stuff. Like I'd do a couple of nationals in Southern California or that were close around me. So yeah, like, again, it goes back to like taking that turn of road racing just kind of happened at a good time. And I mean, it brought me here to have a podcast with you guys. So
yeah,
like, it worked out all right.
Should have gone to Loretta Linsmore.
Well, listen, I think we got it figured out here. So we've set the stage for this weekend with here at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta. And
it's exciting.
It is. It's the debut of the Medallia Superbike Championship this weekend with defending champion Jake Gagne on the number one. I'm going to say it right this time. Fresh and lean, progressive Yamaha Racing YZF R1. Mm. And, you know, Jake's going to be out there going for it no matter what. And we'll see what happens, you know, with these new tires. We'll see what happens with this new grid and some people rejoining us, namely Cameron Beaubier, and a few others are going to be involved. So it's going to be a great season, and it's great to kick it off here at Road Atlanta, a track that's been around for a long time and has a storied history. So make sure you guys subscribe to Moto America Live Plus. I can't say it enough. Cut that cord, get that app, watch what you want to watch. Don't try to consume TV or broadcast the way somebody else tells you to do. Buy it the way you want it. It's affordable. It's great. And you get to see a lot of, you get to see most of the practices, all qualifying, all the races, and a lot of stuff in between. So thanks for joining us. Thanks, Jake, Paul.
I'm going to go buy that Live Plus right now.
Yeah, good. Do it. Do it.